Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the second chapter of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, all calling together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you join me silently in prayer? Gracious God, as always, it is my prayer in the following moments that more and more be seen of you and less of me. Amen. Have you ever ended up someplace you didn't expect to be? My life experience has been a series of, I didn't expect that to happen, in a lot of ways. I got into Virginia Tech partly on a clerical error. I had applied to several schools, and in the mailbox showed up a packet from the business school. I applied to Virginia Tech, business/undecided. And it was a packet from the business school that said, "Welcome, here are the options in the business school." So I contacted the other schools and said, "Thank you, but no thank you. I was headed to Virginia Tech." Now, of course, being the ADD poster child I am, that's just, I went on with my life. It never occurred to me that I had never gotten the official acceptance letter and package from Virginia Tech. But it occurred to my father, who contacted Virginia Tech only to find out, oh, we hadn't completely admitted him. That wasn't supposed to be sent. That was an error on our part. And my father's response was essentially, well, he's been admitted now because he's contacted his other schools and told them he's not coming. So if there is not a letter in our mailbox in a timely fashion, there will be an issue. Sure enough, a letter showed up in our mailbox a few weeks later. Dad did not tell me that story until much, much later. But I graduated from Virginia Tech. It wasn't like I didn't belong there. And, you know, I, as I said, applied business/undecided. And part of the business thing was like, oh, I'll make some money. So I'll do business. I was a business management major. And upon graduation, worked a job for about 2 weeks and was miserable, quit, fell sideways, so to speak, into ministry, which I think is where God wanted me all along. But I have to tell you one other little funny note on that whole story was when I was graduating, I was interviewing for jobs, and I was actually offered a spot in the Lowe's management training program, among other reasons, but the chief of which that I turned it down was, can you guess? Because I would have to work weekends and holidays. How did that turn out for me? I like to say, and you've heard me say it, one of my favorite cartoons in the Sunday paper was always Family Circus. And my favorite one in Family Circus was Billy, when Billy, and this was partly being an ADHD person, when Billy had to go from here to there, he didn't go from here to there. You remember, he went here and he went there and he went up and he went down and he went right and he went left. And then, only then, did he end up at his destination. I think life is a lot like that. There are all kinds of twists and unexpected turns. Sometimes we may be called on to take a long journey to an unknown place. We will absolutely encounter barriers, detours, deterrents, all kinds of things that we weren't expecting. And in particular, if we listen to God's voice, we can really end up in places we never expected to be, and sometimes, honestly, may not want to be, thanks to God. The sub-theme of our last Sunday for this series is the road is not straight. I think life has probably taught us all that lesson, that the road is often not straight. That can be challenging, but it can also be empowering, because if we embrace the idea that life is not a straight line, then that can help us deal with all the twists and the turns and the curves. And further, if we embrace the idea that no matter where we end up, God is always with us. Life might be complicated, life might be nuanced, but there is, and this can be a good thing, no one path, right? There's no one way. There are multiple ways, and God is with us as we go through and try to sort out what the best way to go is. The story today, the Magi teach us that a faithful path can be one that resists oppressive or deceptive powers, one that follows God's light wherever it shines. A moment or two on the Magi. Part of the reason they are termed wise men probably is because of their skills in interpreting dreams and understanding astrology. They were well known in their time for telling fortunes and preparing daily horoscopes. They were scholars, part of the reason too that they have heard that or been named that. And they also enjoyed access to the Persian emperor, which is part of the way that they have been probably termed kings along the way. They observe the star, of course, in the story, and they discern that it's pointing them to the divine. And instead of ignoring it or simply observing it from afar, they decide to make the treacherous and arduous journey closer to Christ, closer to Jesus. I don't know about you, but occasionally in my life, I have in the fine history or in solidarity with the prophet Jonah, there have been times where I'm like, I don't want to go that way. I'm going the exact opposite way. That is not what I want. And yet God has never gone, okay, well, I'm done with you then. These Magi cross over geographical, political, religious, ethnic, and cultural boundaries to seek out the newborn child. They are filled with joy at the sight of Jesus and humble themselves before him, bowing and bearing gifts. They have an intuitive sense of themselves and their dreams, and that is part of the reason they evade Herod's deception and choosing what is probably a more difficult journey home by a different route. A word, and you've probably heard this, but just in case you've forgotten it, about the gifts that they present to Jesus. We have gold, which to this day is considered a royal kind of thing. It is a gift for royalty, particularly in those times, and that is an acknowledgement of Jesus's bloodline and divinity, and going back to all the way to David. Frankincense is was an expensive incense that was burned as part of worship in the temple. So this is a nod to Jesus's divinity. And last but not least, myrrh. An expensive oil used for perfume, and it was most commonly used among wealthy Jews as an anointing oil for the dead. So myrrh is seen as a foreshadowing of where Jesus will end up, his death, and also a reminder of his mortality. As we consider this story, I think there are probably some things that we can take out for the journey. One is we don't have to know where we are going to end up to know that God is with us. The passage I read from Isaiah this morning is a powerful statement. God makes a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. It doesn't mean, of course, that the journey will always be easy or that we will get through the journey unscathed. But no matter what that journey is, God makes a way in the wilderness. It paints, these words from Isaiah paint a vivid picture of God's presence in our lives. God is actively involved in our lives and in our world. Sometimes God literally makes a way where there was none before and invites us to embrace new things that God might be doing in our lives and in the world. Part of the trick is, are we listening, and are we listening or trying to find God's voice and God's direction? But there exists, nonetheless, a divine invitation to move forward. We should learn from the past. We should absolutely consider where we've been and what that might mean. But we should also be open to stepping into new possibilities. We are never alone in the journey. Think for a moment about the people who journey with you. My workshop that I did at Montreat, part of the theme was hope. And I chose to do a workshop, and I called it Hope on the Small Screen. And so I used scenes from TV shows. And the last one I used was from a TV show on Apple called Shrinking. And it is about a therapy practice. And Harrison Ford, who was a national treasure for the record, is acting in this show, and in the show he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And the ending of this last season, he gives this speech to these friends and family that are gathered at a Thanksgiving, and he says, "I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I'm leaning on all of you all." I included it, and I told the folks it wrecked me because of everything going on with my mom. But at the same time, it gave me hope, because that's what we've done as a family. We have leaned on one another. We are not meant to go through this life alone. I told them, I will say to you, find your people. Hold on to your people. Reach out to your people when you need your people. We are not meant to be alone. God intended us to be in community from the very, very beginning. As we enter a new year, we can hopefully find comfort in knowing that God is always with us, that a light guides us home, that a light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. There is hope in the idea that you never truly go alone. Love through God knows your name and goes alongside you and before you. The star is a guiding force of hope for the Magi as they embark on a long journey. So, in your own life, I ask you to reflect. When you feel like you're in a place of, you're in foreign territory, literally or figuratively, what are the guiding forces of hope in your life? We talked about that a little bit last Sunday with our modified lessons and carols. We put prayers on the stand over here, and part of those were things that we were thankful for. And I think part of what we are called to do is to actively look for where hope is in our lives. So I invite you to do that. Think about where hope is for you when you are in a place where you're unsure. What signs do you look for to show you where to go? How do you discern God's voice in your life? If you're not sure, then it's worth considering how you might do that as we move into a new year. In preparation for this message, I was told about a TED Talk, and I've mentioned those before, and this particular one was by Suleika Jawad. Now, Suleika was diagnosed with a rare form of acute myeloid leukemia, when she was in her early 20s. Doctors told her she only had a 35% chance of survival. She was a writer and was planning to, she had a whole career in mind of where she was going to do and what she was going to do with that. She ended up, partly because of what she was dealing with, writing a column for the New York Times entitled Life Interrupted, which obviously was about how her life and her plan had been interrupted by this illness. She tells the story in her talk about how this writing then inspired people to write to her, and she heard stories from people all over the country, from somebody who was in prison to a teenage girl in Florida, all of whom were reaching out, seeking connection, sharing their stories with her, being inspired by her story that she was sharing. Part of her healing journey was when she did, in fact, survive, she embarked on a 15,000-mile road trip around the U.S., visiting all of these or many of these people who wrote to her. And she found it to be a very healing experience. But here's the thing that she mentioned and the thing that she learned throughout her journey. When she was healed and out of the hospital, and she found that she was very much forever changed by the journey that she had been through. It wasn't like, oh, I was sick and now I'm well and everything is fine. She at times longed for not the sickness, but the structure that she had known for years. She dealt with guilt because she met people while she was being treated who did not live or make it through. And she did. And she kind of came to a place where she decided that there is no, the terms either healthy or sick are not useful. Matter of fact, she ended up writing a book entitled Between Two Kingdoms. And part of that idea was, she said, we are always, as human beings, kind of in various states. There is no perfect health for any of us. It's not going to be the case. So we are in between constantly two kingdoms. We may move one way or the other, but and that was part of her experience. I want to share a couple quotes that she shared in her talk. The first one is, you can be held hostage by the worst thing that's ever happened to you and allow it to hijack your remaining days, or you can find a way forward. You can be held hostage by the worst thing that's ever happened to you and allow it to hijack your remaining days, or you can find a way forward. Wise advice for all of us as we encounter life's difficulties. Because you can mentally put yourself in a place where you don't find hope or you don't think God is with you and just say, eh. She goes on to say, every single one of us will have our life interrupted. Whether it's by the ripcord of a diagnosis or some other kind of heartbreak or trauma that brings us to the floor. We need to find ways to live in the in-between place, managing whatever body and mind we currently have. As we move into a new year and we all encounter life and all of its complexities, how can you navigate the in-between place that you find yourself in whatever body and mind you currently have? How can you do that with God's help? Part of that is something for us to consider as we move forward. We are moving out of one season in the church into another. We're moving into, we're celebrating Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany, by textbook definition, a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something, an intuitive grasp of reality through something, such as an event, usually simple and striking, or an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure. In church season, we are moving from a season of gift-giving, indulgence, so to speak, that has been at sometimes directly and sometimes very loosely connected to the birth of the Christ child, the incarnation of God. And we're moving into a time where we celebrate and we honor God. So as we move into this season of Epiphany and the rest of the year, what gifts do we have to give? What gifts do we have to give to Jesus, to others in our lives, to the world? How and why do we give them? And through them, do we honor the self-respect and agency of God and all of God's children? Are we living? Are we practicing what we're supposed to be preaching? Through our gifts, can we, do we testify to who God is as the one who became incarnate among us? Are we spreading the good news in our lives and in our world? As we embark on a new year, I wanted to close by sharing a poem that I came across called For a New Beginning by John O'Donohue. In out-of-the-way places of the heart where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight when your courage kindled and you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Amen.